Good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen. Hey, if you are a visitor with us today, let me be another one to welcome you as warmly as I possibly know how. This is my virtual hug. Y'all feeling it? All right. I want you to know that you are such an honored guest here. Wherever you're coming from, whether it be a new Christian or been a Christian for a long time, different faith backgrounds, this is a safe place. We just want to study God's word and try to do that. Whatever that is that he's calling us to, that is what we're interested. As was mentioned earlier, we are working very hard to be a family anyone can belong to. We want you to come here and grow with the Lord. And so if you're a visitor, thank you for being here today. You picked a good day to come, actually, because we've got a lot that I want to talk about. We've been kind of, as January, unfolding what this year is all about. And even more specifically, today, we're presenting something distinctly new, a new vision for our church that we believe God has laid on our heart. So this day will pivot the next possible 10 or 15 years of our church. So it's a big day. And so if you would join with me, I'd like to ask us to just pray together that God would make known what we need to hear. So join with me. Father, we ask that you would speak through me in spite of me today, Lord. In my weakness, may your strength be seen. We want to hear your voice. We don't come to hear me or Michael or anybody else. We're here to hear your voice, God. And I pray that in each individual heart, you would resonate in a frequency that is unmistakable. And may it honor you. We celebrate you, God, and may we experience those blessings that you give us. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. This year, one of the things that we're looking at is this idea of seeing clearly. It's 2020, right? We want to develop 2020 vision. We want to see the elephants in the room, looking at our emotional health this year. We're going to look at a lot of things that I think in some ways that it sneaks in and hides in the corners. And we want to unpack that stuff so that we can be on board with God and what he is calling us to do. One of the great things about seeing clearly is that we have to see ourselves clearly. And we have to also know who God is and see him clearly. One of the things I want to present today, let me give you some definitions. We're going to use this as a working model that we're going to look forward to in the next few weeks. A vision, which is what we're talking about today, is about seeing. A vision is to see with. It is kind of the goal of all that we do. We want to one day experience that visual being real. So the vision is what we see. The mission, which Michael talked about last week, is what we do. It's our job. So we're going to do some things to bring about the vision. Does that make sense? Say yes. All right, two people. All right, let's try it again. A vision is what we see, right? It is what our goal is going to be. What we do is our mission. That brings about that vision over time. Then there's strategies, which is how we do what we do. And there's lots of tools. Just the idea of being a family anyone could belong to. To do that provides a safe platform for people to learn about the Lord. That is one of our tools. And there are many other things like that. And then there's values that we would base some of these things on. This is kind of the why we're going to do what we do to bring about the vision. So these are four categories. The vision is what we see, it's our goal. The mission is what we do, it's a job. Strategies are tools, it's the how. And the value is the why, it is our focus. And we're going to learn next week, Jesus has a mission and a purpose and a vision very clearly and many strategies, and we're going to learn about those. The week after, we're going to look at Satan because they are directly in contradiction with one another. And the Bible unfolds them pretty clearly. We need to know who our enemy is and understand that. So we're going to look at some of those things. I would say another strategy that we would talk about here that undergirds the mission that we talked about last week and the vision that we're looking at today is this idea it's okay to be not okay at Church in the Falls. It's okay to be not okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay at Church in the Falls. In other words, God loves you enough to meet you right where you're at, no matter how bad or good that may seem to you. But God loves you too much to let you stay there. And there's always a tension in our walk with the Lord. There's always a nudge to move forward. And that is a real important strategy, a tool to understand, to frame what we do. Another one is a belief system, which I talked about a couple weeks ago. Quick test. Let's see how we do. Belief system, B-E-L-I-E-F. It's three behaviors and three beatitudes. The behaviors are things that we should do all the time. It is the way we express love to the world. The three attitudes keep those three behaviors in check. B stands for blessed, which is be loving everywhere so someone sees. Somebody paid attention. Two of you. If you don't have a bracelet, by the way, grab one of that. I'll explain all this. And then E stands for eat, which is to extend that attention over a meal. Jesus came eating and drinking. So we don't want to just be loving all the time. We want to draw those opportunities to have connection with people around food, around a good cup of coffee. And then the third behavior is this simple idea of once we connected with them and then we're beginning to extend that attention, then we want to listen. And listen stands for leaning in strategically to explore nuance. What are the words behind the words? When we do these three things, we love the world well. And they will be drawn to who you are, just like they were drawn to Jesus. Now, the three attitudes that keep us in check are the last three letters. I is imitation of Christ. I'm investigating theological answers through experience. As in, we don't want to just platitude. We want to know what it's like to turn the other cheek, to pray for our enemies. It's in those wrestling moments that we get clarity and we do the behaviors better. And then those real experiences, we need to be ready to share them. E is our elevator talk, right? Expressing those life experiences, very abbreviatedly, to offer reason. What is the reason that you're like you are? Well, let me tell you about my experience. We need to be ready. And then the last one, F, is a focal point. We are followers of Christ at large. We're always on. Be ready, in season and out of season. These simple ideas are one of the tools that we use to bring about our mission and our vision. And then as Michael left us last week, we've added a new word to our mission. We wanted to embrace God as we always done. We were encouraging others, but we wanted to add equip. That's a really important biblical word from Ephesians 4. We want to equip the church to go and engage the world. So we are embracing God, encouraging others, and equipping the church to engage the world. That is what we're doing. That is our mission here at Church in the Falls. Everything we do is going to be rooted in that. We have programs around that, whether it be life groups where we connect with one another, or Bible classes. Our Sunday assembly is part of that. Our classes that we teach our children. All of these things serve the purpose of those four mission activities, if you will. But all of them are pointing something better and bigger. And that is what I want to talk to today, our vision. We have used the language of a family anyone can belong to as a vision. And in a sense, it kind of is, but it's more of a tool or a small vision towards a much bigger one. Because if we just are a place that anybody can come, God's work is not fully completed there. And so we wanted to raise the bar a little bit. So what I want to present to you today, our vision for Church in the Falls is going to be make you wait for it. Think with me for a second. Have you ever had an experience where a celebrity knew who you were? You see it all the time. Ellen DeGeneres calls on the phone. Hey, John, this is Ellen DeGeneres. And John's like, and there's that pause because he's, is this for real? That moment, right? You see it on the television. Everybody laughs. It's a fun thing. I mean, we've got stories like that. Like I have an autographed picture that has me and Dennis Jernigan, who wrote a lot of the music that we sing. And it says, David, I had a great time, da, da, da. It was just like a friend kind of letter. And I'm like, look at that. Dennis Jernigan knows who I am. He knows my name. He wrote it right there. Or Paula Barbieri, we have a letter to Julie and I from her saying, thank you for the way you've blessed my life. And I'm thinking, that's kind of cool. Someone who is famous and has impact knows who I am, knows my name. It's kind of a cool experience. Or maybe, like I had an experience a few years ago. For those of you who grew up in the Churches of Christ, the word a cappella, I mean, I was weaned on a cappella. I mean, like, I know all their songs backwards and forwards. It's like my group, right? I grew up watching them in concert regularly. Well, the leader, the founder of that is Keith Lancaster. And a few years ago, I'm sitting at my desk, and up pops a caller ID, and it says Keith Lancaster. I laughed. I was like, yeah, that's crazy. Maybe someone from a cappella is trying to sell some CDs. I don't know. So I pick it up. Hello, this is David Church in the Falls. Hey, David, this is Keith. Lancaster? Yes, Keith Lancaster. How you doing? As if he knew who I was. Now, I know that that was at some level an opportunity to connect with our church. But you know what? I can see my desk and the wall. It's like my eyes took a picture of that moment because Keith Lancaster knew who I was. Have you had an experience like that? You know what I'm talking about. There's something exciting when that happens, when someone outsider, or maybe what if someone really powerful, like what if the president called you or knew your name? Or even better, listen to this. What if Oprah called you one day? You laugh, but you know you'd be like, woo, right? You'd be excited because Oprah represents something big. I don't know, maybe you would act a little bit like this guy. Push play.
Let's see what Kaylin Allen is saying. Looks like you're living your best life, Kaylin, living your best life.
Y'all, I'm sorry. I've been crying because y'all would not believe this. Okay, so look, I'm over here minding my own business, and I get this notification. Guess who it's from? Oprah. Oh, dear. Oprah Winfrey, mother Oprah. Oh, Jesus be a fist all around me all the day. Oh, hold my muse, Jesus. Ooh, Oprah. Oprah Winfrey. Oprah, if you see this, baby, listen. Thank you.
I don't know, who would act like that if Oprah knew who you were and sent a letter to you, right? It'd be pretty powerful, right? Here's a tweetable tweet right here. Being known as special, or being known is special when the one who knows you is special. Soak that in a minute. Being known by someone is special when the one who knows you is special. When there's something that's significant of that person and they know you, it makes you go, oh wow, they know me. They know me. Hey, woo, we're friends. Yeah, we're like this, right? There's something in us that desires that, okay? And I think that's normal and healthy, but I want to just draw your attention to that. And then there's the idea of what happens if they don't just know your name, but they think you're special too. They're your friend. Like, for example, oh, I just love Church in the Falls. What a great place. Been there a couple times, hope to come back again one day. They're my people, right? We all know who Clark Beckham is because he's been to our church a few times. And he might even be coming back. And something exciting about that because he knows who we are and he thinks we're pretty special. That's different. It's a whole different level, right? There's something important about that. But let's take it a little farther. Have you seen these stories where a mom or a dad ends up being diagnosed with a terminal form of cancer, something horrendous like that? They've got 6 or 8 months to live. They have a baby in the womb or a brand new child who's never going to know who they are. And after they swallow hard, they say, you know what? I'm going to make videos. I'm going to tell, you know, son, one day you're going to face this, and I want you to know this is what you do. And your dad is with you, even though I'm not with you, but I love you. You're going to do great things. You're important. You're special to me. I know you, and I love you. No matter what happens, know that, right? And that's what we desire to do because that person is special to us. Do you realize that the King of the universe, Christ Jesus himself, left us a recording just like that? One that says to each of you, I know who you are, and I have big plans for you. It is so important. Don't forget this, because one day you're going to need this, and I want you to know what's important. I want to share that with you today. That sets the tone of what our vision is. If a dad offered that to his son, it would cast vision for the son. Would you agree? Jesus has done that for us. In John 17, let's read John 17, verses 1 through 5 to start with. After Jesus had finished speaking to his disciples, he looked up towards heaven and he prayed. Now just pause for a minute. He's just coming out of a whole sequence in which he's washing feet. He's saying things like, I'm the God of the universe and the fact that you worship me is right. And I'm washing your feet, so you better wash each other's feet. That means powerful messages, miracles are happening. He's doing all of this. He's wrapped it all with a bow. He is now headed to the cross. And these are his last words out loud. Seems significant to me. He says, Father, the time has come for you to bring glory to your Son in order that he may bring glory to you. And you gave him power over all people so that he would give eternal life to everyone that you gave him. God, listen to my prayer. I'm the special one. You know me. I know you. I've got all the power because you gave it to me. And he's saying it out loud. This is a moment that no one would have ever forgotten. Eternal life is this, he says, to know you, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, the one whom you sent. I have brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything that you gave me to do. That's his mission. And now, Father, give me back the glory that I had with you before the creation of the world. In other words, I was something awesome before, and I want to go back to that day where I have all that authority and power. You've given it back to me, and this is my moment, and I've got one last job to do. And God, I'm saying it out loud so everybody can hear it. This is my last will and testimony, and everybody needs to pay attention. This is a significant moment. He's saying it out loud on purpose so they can hear it. He continues. So his first idea is to know. Eternal life is to what? To know who? To know God the Father and to know me, Jesus says, the Son. That is eternal life. He continues, 6 through 8. You have given me some followers from this world. All his disciples are around him, right? And I have shown them what you are like. And they were yours, but you gave them to me. And they have obeyed you. They know that you gave me everything I have, and I told my followers what you told me, and they accepted it. They know that it came from you. They believe that you are the one who sent me. Remember, eternal life is to know God and know the Son. And he says, these guys know us. They have eternal life. They have completed. They get it. They understand. They believe. And I am excited and I am so grateful that you have given them to me. He's praying about those people right there. Can you imagine being a fly on that wall, right? That moment to hear that. But he continues. Not only is it about knowing and being known. Listen to this. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Because remember, Jesus is about to leave. But to keep them safe from the evil one, because he also has a vision and a mission. And we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks, all right? They do not belong to this world any more than I do, but make them holy by your truth. One of the core principles of Jesus' mission and vision. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. All right, now let's recap. This is what eternal life is. Knowing you, God, and knowing me, the Son. These people get it. They know us. They have eternal life. And I am sending them out so that they can help others know what I help them know. Are you tracking with me? This is the whole duty of all of his followers. This is what's important to Jesus. This is his last will and testimony. He's setting something up that is going to take traction from this. But this is the part that I want you to really capture. Verses 20 and 21. Listen to this. Jesus says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. If you are here today and you claim the name of Jesus as a follower, as a Christian, Jesus is praying specifically for you here. I just need you to soak that in. This is that moment where you may not have known your dad because he passed away while you were in utero, but you come out and here's the video saying, hey son, hey daughter, listen to me. That's what's going on here. This is that moment where Jesus prays specifically for you. And this is what he says. I pray that they will all be one just as you and I are one. And you are in me, and Father, I am in you. And may they be in us. And here's why. So that the world will believe you sent me. You recognize that? He said, these apostles here, they got it. They believed it. They believed that you sent me. They now know us. They now have eternal life. So here's what you get from that. This is eternal life, to know God the Father, to know the Son. These guys get it, so I'm sending them out so that they not only know the Lord, but they can make him known. And guess what? I'm praying the same thing for every other person who may come to know me through them. That is us. Therefore, the vision of Church in the Falls is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known. It is that simple and that hard. Everything we do will be funneled through that. We are going to embrace God, encourage others, equip the church to engage the world so that we may know the Lord Jesus Christ and make him known. That is the last will and testimony of Christ, who is the head of this church. We are the body of Christ, according to the Bible. So what we do here has to be aligned with where he sent us. And according to this, he prayed specifically for Church in the Falls. One day, Church in the Falls and every member here will go out, and I am sending them, and I want them to know that I am praying for them, that they would be one with us. Me and the Father, I want Church in the Falls to be one with us, and I'm sending them out just like I did these who are around me now. to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known. Say it with me. To know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known. That is what we're going to be about here. Bottom line, if it doesn't do that, we don't do it. Now, maybe some of you are thinking, well, yeah, that's true. I guess he sort of prayed generically for me. But I mean, how many times have you been in a situation where, hey, I need you to pray for John's friend. Dear Lord Jesus, bless John's friend. He's having a tough time right now. You don't even know who John's friend is, but you're praying for John's friend. Is this like that, you think? It's a valid question. I want to share with you, I think, some of the most amazing news from the Bible, both Old and New Testament, from prophets and from Jesus himself. Listen to this. Acts 17, for example. He doesn't need anything talking about God. Instead, he gives himself, himself gives life and breath to all people. He also gives them everything else they have. That sounds pretty personal, doesn't it? If you're alive today, God gave you that specifically. And everything you have, he gave you specifically. From one man, he made all the people of the world. And now they live all over the earth. And he decided exactly when they should live. And he decided exactly where they should live. God did this so that people would seek him. And perhaps they would reach out and find him. They would find him even though he's not far from any of us. Because in him we live and we move and we exist. We are his children. Let me ask you this. Who in here doesn't know your children? Probably don't want to raise your hand if that's true, right? Because it's so obvious. The text says that we are God's children. He knows us. He put us exactly here for the very purpose that we would reach back out to get to know him better. That's his entire purpose as well. To connect with us. And he's organized your entire time and space reality for that very purpose. Sounds pretty personal to me. Well, let's go on a little bit farther. How about like the songs that we just sang? Heart Won't Stop, right out of Psalms 139. Or How He Loves Me. Listen to some of these words in Psalms 139. Eternal One, you have explored my heart. You know exactly who I am. You even know the small details. Like when I take a seat, when I stand up again. Even when I'm far away, you know what I'm thinking. You observe my wanderings, my sleeping, my waking, my dreaming. Sounds like Santa Claus. And you know everything I do in more detail than even I know. You know what I'm going and to say long before I say it. It's true, Eternal One, that you know everything and you know everyone. You have surrounded me on every side, behind me and before me. You have placed your gentle hand on my shoulder. It is the most amazing feeling I know about how deeply you know me. Inside and out. The realization of it is so great, I cannot even comprehend it. What he's saying is that I am special because the one who knows me is special. The creator of the universe knows you in a very intent, direct, intentional way. And he has called you to know him and to make him known. For you shaped me, he says, inside and out. You knitted me together in my mother's womb before I even took my first breath. You see all things. Nothing about me is hidden from you. As I took shape in secret, carefully crafted in the heart of the earth before I was born in its womb. You see all things. You saw me growing, changing in my mother's womb. Every detail of my life was already written in your book. You established the length of my life before I even tasted the sweetness of it. What? I mean, think about that. That's not enough. Let's go a few more. I drew a picture of you in my hand. You're always before my eyes, Isaiah says. Isaiah 43 as well. God says, he made you. He now says, don't be afraid. I saved you. I named you. And you're mine. Sounds very personal to me. Or the words of Jesus, Luke 12. Listen to this. Since you are so much more precious to God than 1,000 flocks of sparrows, and since God knows you in every single detail, down to the number of hairs on your head at this very moment, you can be secure and unafraid of any person, and you have nothing to fear from God either. God knows you. He prayed for you. He has a vision for you specifically. His love for you is as a father to a child. The Matthew 10 version of the same recording of Jesus. Listen how it's a little different. You beloved are so worth much more than a flock of sparrows. God knows everything about you, even the number of hairs on your head. So do not fear. And listen to what he says here. Whoever knows me here on earth, I will know in heaven. That's powerful. Our purpose in life, our vision, God's vision for us individually and as a body of believers here at Church in the Falls and in our Cuyahoga Falls community is this: to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known. You are special because the one who knows you is very special. And before you were ever born, he had already crafted what he was going to do to place you in a very specific time and space. I need you to soak that in. This is way more exciting than when Oprah calls. This is so much more exciting than even a father or mother who would give a series of videos to explain to you your purpose in life and to show you their love and their diligence. This is on a whole nother level because God is still alive. He is still with us. When two or more are gathered, he is there, the Bible says. There's something exciting to know that God is with us. He is not just sending us blindly into the night. He is saying, I will never leave or forsake you. I want to go with you into this community. I want you to do something great, and I just want to be a proud daddy to watch it. But I will never leave you. See, here's the thing. Church in the Falls leadership have already accepted this vision and this mission. This is what we shall do. As leaders of this church, the question is, will you join us in this? Will you join Church in the Falls to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known by embracing God, encouraging each other, and being a part of equipping the church to go engage the world? We use lots of strategies to do that. Lots of programs. Sometimes we need to cut programs. Sometimes we need to add them. But here's what I want you to hear. It sounds great when I say it out loud. Oh, yes. Know the Lord Jesus. We're all on board with that. But here's where the rubber meets the road, okay? There's going to be a moment coming down the road where something in you is not going to feel comfortable. And you're going to say, we ought to should. And I'm going to ask you, does that ought to should directly correlate to embracing, encouraging, equipping, engaging for the sake of knowing the Lord Jesus and making him known? Because if you can't answer that clarity, the answer is we can't do that. We can't fund with time, energy, and money things that are solely for the purpose of our comfort if they don't serve this purpose. That's why I'm asking you to consider prayerfully joining this vision. This is where we're headed. And I would love for you to be a part of it. Because we as a body of believers, at the end of the day, this truly is the vision for all of our individual lives. We're just corporately going to do together what individuals can't do alone. We're going to bring our resources together and going to do something that matters. And we're going to make all kinds of mistakes. And that's okay, because God will be with us. But we're going to lay our lives down to this purpose. Again, I ask you, will you join us? To know the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, know is not just some intellectual. This is knowledge. It's the Lord. He's God. There's some humility that's involved with that. He is Jesus, which means he knows what it's like to be in flesh. He's a person. And he's Christ. He came to do the things that he came to do. He fulfilled the purposes. He's the model, the example. All of that is true in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, that means we got to be doing that kind of stuff. We've got to have an imitation of Christ. We've got to be walking in a way that makes us feel uncomfortable. And it might involve a daily cross, picking it up and carrying it right after him. It might involve a sacrificing of our time and energy and money and life. It might involve uncomfortable situations. It might involve forgiving your brothers and sisters when they treat you poorly. It might involve you praying for your enemies and turning the other cheek. It might involve you going into places that you don't want to go because God says, hey, I need somebody there, and you're the brightest light on the block. Go. It's so dark in there. I know, but I'm with you. Go. And here's the part I really want you to hear. Every single one of you have been prayed for and known by God specifically, not generically, individually. Number of hairs on your head, kind of specific. Here's why that's so important. Anybody in your sphere of influence, I can't help. You got a guy at work or a lady that you teach with or someone that is under your sphere of influence and you know them and they like you and they're leaning in to say, okay, something about you is different, right? You're doing all the right stuff. Only you can reach them. You bring me in, hey, I'm going to introduce you to my pastor, right? David, he's going to tell, you know, I'm happy to help. But you're the one who's going to make the difference. I need you to know that. No one else can do that. And here's the sad part. If you choose not to, no one else can. Your role in the kingdom is pivotal. It is so important. The eldership, Michael and I and Jared, we're here to just say, go. We're here to say, here, you need a tool? Try this. I'll give you a bracelet. It'll remind you. Go. That's all we can do because individually, you are the only ones who can do what you can do. And there is no fear in that because perfect love casts it out. Step into it boldly. God, I don't know how you're going to do what you're going to do. In my weakness, may your strength be seen. The great apostle Paul said it that way. Go forth and don't be afraid. God will be with you. If you need help, my goodness, we'd love to be a part of that. But at the end of the day, the rubber meets the road right there. Will you accept this call to know experientially the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his sufferings and pains, whatever it brings, and ultimately to make him known? All right, say it with me. This is the vision of Church in the Falls going forward. We are a body of believers who want to know the Lord Jesus Christ and make him known. Let's say it again. To know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known. Everything else is secondary to that big vision. That done got me fired up. I'm going to stop because we're out of town, but here's what I want to leave you with. This week, I want you to think and pray. I would invite you even to daily say, God, I hear you. I don't know what it looks like. Help us. Would you pray that? Help me and help us do this. Because we may be the only light in the dark place we find ourselves. And God is expecting and counting on us to do that. Individually and as a body of believers. I'm going to offer a word of prayer. When I'm done, the Rise Men is going to come up. We're going to sing a last song, kind of close out the service. I'll send you out with a blessing. But I want to invite you to do as we're singing, and even after the service, if you'd like, there'll be a prayer room open right behind here with some shepherds in there. And if there's some way we can encourage you or to pray with you or to honor you in some way, we would love to do that. If you got maybe you're on your walk and you got some questions and some of that equipping comes in, we would love to be a part of that, okay? We want to help you, encourage you, and give you the tools you need. But maybe God is nudging on you to make a change in your life. We want to be here for that. So if we can serve you in some way today, please, right during the song or afterwards, step into the prayer room right outside the room here and let us connect with you. But if you would you stand together with me and let's offer a word of prayer and then we'll sing one closing song. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the many blessings and gifts. Lord God, I pray that you would descend upon us right now with your Holy Spirit in fire and power to move us into the place that you have for us, the vision that you've laid, that you've been thinking and praying about for thousands of years now. God, I pray that we would take that personally and seriously today, individually and as a body of believers here at Church in the Falls. We are yours, Lord. We lay it all down at the foot of the cross. We desire to know you, Lord, everything about you and to make you known. And may we do that with honor and dignity and respect, with patience and compassion, and with a fire from the Holy Spirit that brings power. Lord, lead us. We submit to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together.
Again, increase in us, we pray. Amen.
blessing. May you step into your future with boldness and the clear vision to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to make him known by embracing God, encouraging others, and joining into the equipping of the church to engage the whole world. God bless you. Go in peace.